This is episode number 13 of the Obsessive Creative Podcast. This is a community of relentless creators. And here we talk about what it's like to be compelled and obsessed to create work that matters. And of course, we stay away from stressful topics like social media, taxes, and business development. I'm your host, Luke Cleland, and you can stay up to date on all things obsessive and creative by following me on Instagram at LukeWTCleland. All right, let's get into the show. So I read The War of Art at least once every year. And not only do I reread it every year, it sits regularly beside my desk and it stares at me every morning. I'll put a link in the show notes below if you've never read The War of Art, but I highly recommend it. The audiobook version is also a pretty great way to consume the book. But one of the phrases that really sticks out at me so clearly from the book that I can almost like hear it when I see the book, I can almost hear it when I just even look at the cover of it. And it's from this section called A Professional. And I'm just gonna read a little section of it for you, okay? So someone once asked Somerset Maugham if he wrote on a schedule or only when struck by inspiration. "I only write when inspiration strikes," he replied. "Fortunately, it strikes every morning at 9 o'clock sharp." That's a pro. In terms of resistance, Mom was saying, "I despise resistance. I will not let it faze me. I will sit down and do my work." Mom reckoned another, deeper truth, that by performing the mundane physical act of sitting down and starting to work, he set in motion a mysterious but infallible sequence of events that would produce inspiration. As surely as if the goddess had synchronized her watch with his, he knew if he built it, she would come. So this little section from The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield just really changed my perspective on creativity. Before, I had this view of creativity that it was this spark, and that whenever I got the spark, whenever I was struck with inspiration, I had to work right then. I just had to like get it all out and done right then. And if I had no such striking, then there was no ideas. And then it wasn't a good time to create. And that enforced this false idea of creativity, that creativity was limited. I only had a limited amount of ideas and definitely only a limited amount of good ideas. And once those were used up, I was sunk. But what if creativity isn't like that at all? Right? What if inspiration is endless? And what if it can be scheduled? Like, that's awesome. Like, what would happen if we started to schedule in our inspiration? Number one, I think it would change your ideas about what it means to be talented. There is no doubt that there are some people born with this innate gift in them that enables them to be incredibly good at something almost immediately. But the more I've talked with creatives that are quote unquote talented, and those that are successful in creating it into a business, behind all that talent that we see is a lot of 9 o'clock sharp scheduling. It's taken them 20 years of showing up over and over again to become an overnight success. So what if this idea of talent wasn't this kind of endowment of perfect ability that someone was born with, but rather it was the results of showing up over and over again? So in high school, I had a friend of mine that did this like pen flick with his hands. I'm not sure if you know what I'm talking about, but it's when you can like rotate and flip a pen through all of your fingers in your hand. And it looked so cool. Like, I thought it was the coolest thing. And I remember one day I got a pen and I was trying. I was like, by the end of this day, I'm going to figure out how to do this. And so I was trying throughout the whole day, apparently listening to my classes and practicing how to get this pen to flip through my hand. And by the end of the day, I just remember being like, okay, you know what? It's his fingers. Like he's just like his fingers are just like set up for to be able to flip a pen. Like I can't do it. There's no way. Doesn't matter how hard I'll try. It's just, it's impossible. And so I got frustrated and asked him, I was like, dude, how do you do that? How is that? How are you so good at that? And I remember him taking a pen and then breaking it down into all these little steps, right? He's like, oh, you gotta, first you gotta just like hold it in between two fingers and then just get used to like rotating it back and forth, like just a very simple step. And he broke it down into all of these steps that he practiced and then put them all together and then practice all of that over and over and over again. Like this was a long process in order to be able to flip a pen through your fingers. So, but what if we saw talent like we saw pen flipping? Like sure, there are those born with this incredible ability to begin with, but I'd suggest that talent is rather a dedication to learning each step and then practicing those steps over and over and over again until it looks like there were never any steps in the first place. Number two, I think it would cut the drama. So I will not stereotype creatives as extra emotional beings, but let's just talk about myself right now. I have a tendency to create a lot of drama in my head around creating, right? Even though I know that inspiration and creativity isn't a lightning strike, I can tell when things are getting dramatic in my mind. When I start thinking words like never, always, everything, nothing, no, definitely. And why is that? Well, I think there's this like self-sabotaging feature inside of my brain that really wants to delay my creative ideas as long as humanly possible. And the best way to do that is to create some seemingly serious obstacles in my way, right? Another hint that my brain is creating drama is that it typically has a very negative bent. It's not like, oh, you should definitely do this and it's gonna like go so well that you'll have nothing, no time for anything else. That's not how it goes. Oh, no, no, no. It's always negative. It's, I don't have the skills. It's too late to try something like this. No one will ever buy my work, or no one will buy it, or I don't have enough time, blah, 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 blah. Remember from a couple episodes ago, the shut up and play sign in my office? Well, right beside the shut up and play sign, I have another sign that says cut the drama. Because in order to play, I have to tell myself to shut up. And what do I need to shut up about? It's the drama. The drama. The drama needs to be shut up. It's the bemoaning, I'm not good enough, I don't have the best ideas, it's too late. Someone's already done it. All of the resistance things that the War of Art talks about in depth. And where I really think it comes from is fear. It plays itself out in life too, right? The people that are constantly creating drama in their life, this tornado of emotion and trouble, you could probably think of people like this. And how many times are they like that? Because they don't want to face their own problems and their own real issues in their own life. The thing inside that they don't want to stare at. So they create other drama to take their mind off it. And for our creative work, when we have to sit down and face the blank page in front of us, we have to deal with the issue of, is it going to be good? Is it going to be terrible? And often we are willing to do anything to distract us from our work because of the fear that it might just be bad and we might just fail. One thing I have been really proud of accomplishing in my life is not very like special. It's this half marathon I did in college. And it's not that the time was particularly impressive. It's not that the distance is like, it's not like a super marathon or whatever triathlon that's like done in the desert or is a half marathon, which is long, it's hard. But because running and training that long takes mental strength. So I trained for the run for about 4 months. But here's the thing about running for me, is that running is horrible. It's the worst. But then running's amazing, and it's the best, and it makes you feel so good, and it makes you feel alive. One day it is the worst, and one day it's the best. I've never felt like I've been very good at running, because running, exercising, working out is as just as a mental game as it is physical. And the drama, oh, the drama can help you get out of things, right? So our brain tells us, like, we're gonna do this race. We're gonna start training for this race. But then your brain says, well, your body needs a break. You don't want to become obsessed with fitness. You don't want to make it an idol. Like, drama can help tilt the balance in the mental fight, because running is hard and it's difficult and it's building muscle. And often we want just what's easier. And the thing about scheduling inspiration and creativity is that it's scheduling a creative workout. It's scheduling a creative muscle that needs to be worked. And if I just cut the drama, I may actually have to work that muscle. But the good news about working a creative muscle is that each day it's gonna get a little easier, and your muscle is gonna get a little stronger, and the next day it'll get easier, and then you'll have a horrible day and you wanna give up on everything and you'll never wanna do it again. But then if you persevere, the next day will just be a little bit easier. And the thing I loved about running that half marathon was that at the beginning, I could barely run a mile and not just want to die. And by the end of my training, though, I was running these like long runs where I was running like 7, 8, 9 miles, and I was just cruising. And like, it wasn't even a big deal. And it felt really good to be able to run and run and run and for miles, when at the beginning, before I started, it seemed impossible. But it is. It is possible. If we schedule the runs, if we schedule the inspiration, eventually it'll become easier. But often the thing that stops us from even starting in the first place is the drama. It never even lets us get our running shoes on. And then lastly, if we saw inspiration as something that we could schedule, man, we could finally get on the path of doing what we think we can do. If you're an obsessive creative, you often have this vision, this obsessive vision, an imagination of what life could be like, of what your work could be like, of what you could do. But the thing is, it's often just up here. It's in our head, it's in our imagination. And what the world needs now more than ever before is people to make good things for us to see and to enjoy. To make the invisible visible. To bring things into the world that would encourage us, that could enlighten us, that could change us for the better, that could bring us together, that could help us love our neighbor more. There is enough bad stuff out there, and I think it's about time we bring a lot more honest creativity into the world. And the amazing thing about scheduling inspiration is that it could actually lead to the thing you imagine, right? For Somerset Maugham, this writer that I mentioned at the beginning, he became one of the most popular writers of his era. He became who he became because of the thousands of little steps he took over and over and over again to become talented. Because he cut the drama, he showed up like a pro, and he decided he wasn't going to let his brain play the drama tricks on him anymore. But instead, he was going to get to work. Thank you so much for listening this week. I hope each episode encourages you to lean into who you are as a creative and do work that matters. And until next week, stay obsessed. A way to find a window.